Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We start Wednesday off right. It's the True North Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend to me, Bill North, up there in Seattle, Washington, or maybe he's in Oakland, or maybe he's in Los Angeles. He's always traveling. Yeah, he's in L.A. today then. Okay, he's in my neck of the woods. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing, playing a little co-host with him in L.A. as well. 347-205-9631. Goes by quick. Tell all your friends about it. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, Bill, it is the threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And, boy, are you bringing a sergeant in here today, my friend, to restore order?
Well, I'm doing good. I can't complain. The sun's out in L.A. You can reach me at Bill Norte, B-I-L-L Norte, N-O-R-T-E, 15 at gmail.com. And I'll tell you this much. If you ever wanted to talk to a young player or teach a young player how to play the game, this man right here played the game hard, played the game smart, and was a tremendous competitor and somebody I would love to watch play. And from the minor leagues throughout our careers, this guy brought it every day. Hey, G, how are you?
Good, good. Thank you for that intro there for sure, Billy. Yeah, things are well. Still working with the Phillies, you know, doing some things with Babe Ruth. I've been involved with them for the last 9 years. You know, life's good. Kind of cut the traveling down some. But, yeah, life is good.
Yeah, you've had a good run. And you've had coaching and broadcasting. And I remember you when you played in Amarillo, Texas. With Gary Maddox and Gary Thomason, and I was over there in San Antonio with the Cubs. And
yeah.
And you played the game the same way then that you played your whole career. I'm telling you, I was always impressed by you. I mean, you never cheated the game, man. I tell you.
Yeah. Gary Thomason was on that double-A team. Believe it or not, Gary Maddox had just come back from Vietnam, he went to A-ball and actually hit 31 home runs, and his career really took off. He was actually the one that took over for Willie Mays. Real quick story on Gary Maddox, one of his best friends. So we were always together. When he was traded, I was there in the room with him with Charlie Fox. And believe it or not, one of the reasons they were trading him for Willie Montanez, who played with the Phillies, they said that he wasn't a very good fielder. that's a true story. So he was traded for Willie Montanez. Billy, you remember Bon Joshua actually took over at center field and hit 300 that particular year after Gary Maddox had left. But after that, Gary Maddox with the Phillies won 8 gold gloves in a row. So
2/3 of the world was covered by water. The other 1/3 was covered by Gary Maddox.
Yeah. He was without a doubt an easy center fielder to play with. He used to tell Bobby Bonds and myself in the meetings, you two worry about the lines. I got everything else.
Yeah.
And
if I call it on the line, get off of it.
Yeah, definitely. But he was a good player, and really, A lot of people don't realize 1 year he hit 331 playing all year. But having multiple gold gloves would just show you what kind of player he was, really.
Oh, tremendous player. I always had admiration for him. Come on. I don't know who's talking about what Gary Maddux couldn't do. Because he plays a game. You want him out there all the time. But speaking to you, I got a question about some of these Matthewisms. He wrote a book, and it was called Matthewisms. Tell us a couple of them.
Well, actually, I've written three books. I'm trying to figure out which one that was, or if that came after the Cubs situation there. But anyway, I talked about not, you know, showing up the team there on the field. We wouldn't give high fives unless it was almost like the end of the game for a game winner. It wasn't celebrated on a game hit. We thought we did our job once we crossed home plate, not getting to second base. And really, back then, our leadoff hitters, we expected those guys, and you know yourself, hey, man, your job was to get on and score 100 runs during the course of the year, steal some bases, cause some havoc, being able to go first to third. And one of the reasons why the Oakland Ball Club was so successful is because they did just that. The Big Red Machine back in that day, they did just that, playing hard, having respect, you know, for the game, but having respect, too, you know, for your fellow teammates. I mean, I would battle Dusty Baker forever after the game. We were able to go out and have dinner somewhere and then be able to talk about it. But, they're a little bit more friendlier these days, and I guess so because, you know, you don't want to be hurting any of those million-dollar guys out there playing these days.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Excuse me, man. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, sorry, Bill. You know, a good friend of mine, and you played with him in Philadelphia, was Warren Brewster. Pitched for you guys. And I keep in contact with him a lot. Boy, I'll tell you, the rich history of the Phillies, I wish you guys would go back to that same uniform because they've changed it now, and I'm not a big fan of what they have today, but man, oh, man, when are they going to bring back that uniform you guys used to wear, my friend?
Yeah, that's really a good question. You got to realize, too, though, Mark, these days there's a lot of, no pun intended, marketing going on with all these teams. So, they're going to change because you look in the stands and you see so many of the fans with different outfits, hats, et cetera, on. That have been there forever. You got old school stuff, you know, that they wear. And so many fans now, and they have, you know, just so many different idols on a team. You'll see people wearing Bryce Harper uniforms, Swartz uniforms. So the uniforms and what they wear in all the sports, I mean, that the fans go to, they represent their team. So
I wonder what the licensing check is now.
Yeah.
Gary?
Yeah.
Pardon me? Wonder what the licensing check is now.
that's probably money they don't even really want to get. They're making so much these days. But, you know, obviously a great era to be playing in. And with that marketing and with the players that, you know, they have, which I'm for one to think that, you know, they're better athletes. I mean, what have you seen a player come in like this Ohtani to be able to pitch and also play in the field? I mean, this is Babe Ruth-like. I mean, you're really seeing history, and our game is involved where it is a worldly game, and you have stars from Ichiro that have come and played that have been damn good players here in the United States, and that's how you judge at least the baseball players. But you have gotten, and particularly in Japan, players that have really stepped up to the plate, and they're really good players, and they come here that are really good players. So your kid growing up now, you better have your stuff together.
Yeah,
because you're competing against, you know, the Latin country. That doesn't even count the kids sneaking out of Cuba. You know, that are damn good players that you're competing against as well.
Yeah. You gave us chance.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Gary, the difference of playing in the National League to the American League. I always thought the American League was big boppers and almost like a softball type of thing, and then the National League was more of a finesse game. And I don't want to disrespect any of the teams in the American League, and I know Billy will probably come over here and hang me here, but when you looked at the two leagues, the junior circuit and the senior circuit, what was the difference you noticed in both leagues?
Well, I don't know if you can say that these days, for sure. Only the difference for us was really the DH. And if you have a DH for the general manager, he's going to go out and try and get a big, you know, bopper. But I think as it evolved, people got tired of looking at the pitcher coming up and striking out. So therefore, you got it in the National League. I like it because the longevity for players are longer, and if you can hit like Edgar Martinez could, you're able to stay in there in the game a lot longer than you were in the past. National League was always kind of a little more of a faster game, although there were some teams that played like they were National League teams, like the Anaheim Angels there. Remember when Socha had them? Those guys would go first, third, and
as good as anybody. Yeah.
And they would they expected. They expected that. You know, the way Dusty Baker's club play. They play more of a National League team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going first and third. They got some really good hitters on the team, have some good players that are on the team. It makes it really easier. I've always said that too, Mark and Billy, that, hey, man, you want to be a good hitting coach? Have good hitters, okay? I tell you, a good hitting coach. That guy that's hitting 220, if you can get him to go to 224, that'll be a miracle. I mean, if you can hit, I'm a believer that you're able to hit. That's on that level, on that particular level. Especially, you know, you're hitting 3, 4, 5 or earlier 1 or 2 up in the lineup. You got a pretty good eye about the strike zone and being able to be a pretty good player.
I know this much is that in baseball, when we played, 220 wouldn't get you very far. I think you might be taking a little trip down to AAA, something like that, and putting the ball in play. And I still maintain that as far as that shift went, I think the hitter should have gotten them out of the shift, not the rules.
Yeah.
You know, they're going
well, you know, too, again, the players are stronger, but they're more robotic because that's the way they practice their swing. They're not like one of the guys I really like looking at is Freddie Freeman. Why? Because he can hit the ball out to left field as a left-handed hitter, and if he's looking to pull, he can do that. But he also thinks the situation, and he's one of those throwbacks, you know, old-time players. Not the fastest runner
right,
in the world. But with two outs, runner on second, I'll take my chances with him.
Yeah, he's
going
to put it in play. You know,
yeah,
you can bet that. And,
hey, Gary,
and
besides Bill North,
well.
Besides Bill North, who took you under your wing and who was your mentor?
Well, we had I grew up in the
he had me
San Francisco,
yeah,
Alliance organization. So Willie McCovey was my locker partner, but Willie Mays really took us all under his wing, from George Foster to all of the outfield, with Bobby Bonds back then. He used to always give us those kangaroo gloves every year and break them in. I mean, it was the softest leather of all time until they actually, you know, outlawed that. I actually just gave one of my sons that glove that Willie had actually given me back in the day. Junior has most of the, you know, the baseball stuff, obviously. But, you know, we keep it going on with all aspects in the family. So I'm...
Your son Dale, is he still working in the league, in the office?
Yeah, Delvin actually had a cup of coffee with the White Sox and didn't make it. He did some internships. Long story short, he is actually vice president now with Major League Baseball, living in New York.
Wow.
And, I'm really, really... proud to say my youngest grandson, Davis Matthews, just got a role in New York with the Lion King as Simba.
Wow.
He'll be starting here early in June. And he is obviously at that age going to be on Broadway and be with the play. Is really quite an achievement at 10 years old. So
I'm
really
so happy. That's great, man. Yeah.
Happy for him. And that's Delvin's son that's there in New York, Davis.
Mm, that's great, yeah. I got it.
Now, let me ask you something, Gary, real fast. You came out of the high school. I'm trying to figure it out. Was it the San Fernando in the Tigers? You guys wore the yellow and blacks in high school?
Yeah, we wore the yellow.
Ah, that, before you before you start that, I came out of El Camino, and John Elway had came out in 1978 out of Granada. Boy, what a small circle.
Oh, yeah, and not only that, I was going to say at the same high school, Anthony Davis and Charles White. Went to San Fernando High and was Tigers there. My youngest brother, who played, was a linebacker then, made All-City. I remember in Granada Hills in a game, he canceled John Elway and told him, it's going to be like this all night long. And they were really quite competitors, obviously. My brother didn't have the career that Elway had, but there's some good athletes that come out of that San Fernando Valley.
Where I am sitting at this moment in Chatsworth. So.
Yeah. Well, give us a story on a bus with you and Billy and a crazy story. Give the listeners, we're down to the last 10 minutes. Give us a hilarious story on a bus ride or something, whether it was the Cubs, where you guys played. I mean, it's just, this is remarkable that we can do this and share some of these highlights each and every week.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, the really good stories, you know, don't really come until the end and after you've won it. You know, during the course of the year, honestly, the bus rides, you're usually kind of tired and you're ready to get to, you know, the hotel, and get yourself some rest. It's 162 games, and back in the day, that's what we would sign up for. We didn't take off days. We were there every day for whatever pitcher that was playing. But I know when I was actually the hitting coach, and I was with the Milwaukee Brewers, and you know how you're going through security. Well, anyway, the clubhouse guy had put a whole bunch of sausage and hot dogs and so on, and had wrapped each one of them up with rubbers, which was about 12 of them. When I went through the security, you know, and it just happened that a lady was actually opening it up, and then he had on the other side porno magazines, and then she says, "Mr. Matthews, you have had your bag with you at all times, right?" And she looked at me in a disgust look. She slammed my bag and told me to get out of here. Like, I'm the perverted one. I'll never forget that. But when you're coaching or when you're playing, attitudes are different. Because when you're coaching, there's nothing you can do about it. When you are playing, you can tell that pitcher out there, hey, guess what? You know, you're getting ready to get your butt kicked. And I mean sooner than later.
Yeah. Wow. I'll tell you a story about the minor leagues and those bus trips. Whoever on those trips, whoever was hitting the best is the one that got to sleep in the luggage rack. Because at least it looked like it kind of was like a coffin, but it was better than sitting and having to crawl over all those legs to get to the bathroom. I'll tell you that much. We had 16-hour trips in the Pioneer League, and from Ogden to Billings or something like that, just massive long trips. But I kind of miss them though. Sometimes I think about that right there. That was when life was simpler.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, I don't miss them bus rides at all, but I will say that being able to sleep on a bus in the minor leagues prepares you to sleep anytime, anywhere that you are.
I got a question. I got a question, Mark. I want to know, to kind of wrap this up, I want to know why Ted Turner got suspended paying you.
Oh, that was simple. Ted, by the way, helped me out tremendously. But he said in a nutshell he was going to do whatever it took to be able to sign me. Well, the commissioner didn't like that because he didn't want it to be, you know, a bidding war.
Right.
So he was really making it clear to the others, hey, man, to stay away. But at that time, and you remember that, Billy, when we were investing in a lot of tax shelters and particularly limited partners with apartment buildings, Ted actually made me defer half my salary and the bonuses and so on that came in and then gave me a rate on it, which if you had it today, you know, 8 or 9%, it would be, I mean, fantastic. But he told me that at the end of my career and when I stopped playing, I'd really thank him. And boy, did I ever, because most of my friends had lost money because they didn't have a whole lot.
All got caught up in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have, like I said earlier, Junior made so much until he couldn't mess it up. You know, you pretty soon you have everything that you want. And he lives in California. He's not married. He says when he thinks about getting married, he goes out and buy another car. So he says,
Smart guy.
Yeah. It's cheaper.
Hey, you know what? As we get it down to about 5 minutes and some change, Ted Turner, I remember when he donned the uniform in Pittsburgh, he said, I'll take the managerial jobs for a day before they said, no, you can't do that anymore. But I want to talk real fast I'll give it back to Billy here. The broadcast career, boy, you've had a stellar career in baseball all those years, an all-star and getting to the broadcast booth. And then not only that, playing for the Phillies and broadcasting with the Phillies. That had to be great, Gary.
Oh, it was awesome. And to be with Harry Callis, which I learned so much from. I had the opportunity to interview Nolan Ryan, and Harry told me it was one of the best he has ever heard. That meant really, really a lot. But, you know, the whole Philly family, and let me tell you, if you can get into the broadcasting, wow, it is really, really just so nice. For sure, because you have a little pressure, not like with the players, but you are still a part of the game in a big way because you're telling the story.
Yeah.
Paying
more ways than one. I think the three of us are going to sign up for the Las Vegas A's. I don't know who will be the color commentator, but the three of us, we need the guy that can take the lead. Maybe Bill can do that, or you, Gary. We'll us three should throw our hat in for the Las Vegas A's.
Well, I got to tell you personally, for me now, I'm more on that, you know, worrying about a 5-foot putt from left to right or if the fish is biting.
Yeah.
It's too much work right now, the broadcasting. I do it occasionally where the Cubs will fly me in to do some games, which I've enjoyed that. So I'm going to do maybe a few of those, up to maybe 5 to 10 this year, and that's plenty.
Hey, real fast, how did you get the nickname the Sarge?
Pete Rose, one of my favorite teammates, gave me the nickname the Sarge, and that was just taking Tom Lasorda and those Dodgers apart to get us into the World Series in 83, where Baltimore ended up beating us up pretty good there. But Pete Rose gave me that nickname, and he said at the time, when a future Hall of Famer gives you a nickname, he said it sticks.
Yeah.
He got one part right. Because the game, my name sure has stuck, in particularly the places that I played.
Well, I'll tell you this much, Gary, that I enjoyed watching you play. And I consider you a friend. You know, we've had some nights together where we've had a conversation or two and our mutual friend Dusty and that, but I've always enjoyed you, and I thank you for coming on our show and giving us some insight into how your career has progressed, I mean, how it progressed and that. And I think you're a wonderful person, and I think that you accomplished many things that a lot of people really, really think a lot of and look up to you, and as I do. And I appreciate you very much, brother. Love you a lot.
Well, thank you for that. Really appreciate it. You probably need to have Junior on there since he played 12 years. Like I said, I got all the hits. He's got all the money. So he just in that era. But he would be good conversation. He's pretty articulate.
And I guess Dale is pretty good, too, though.
Oh, no, Dale has, he talks and he has to because of the nature of his job. But he's doing a good job, Dale is, amateur-wise, with the programs that they're running. And they've had kids that have been drafted out of the program as well.
But you know what? If I was in New York, I'd go to see Lion King. That's really great to see your kids do that. My daughter, Jessie, My daughter dresses Kevin Hart, amongst others, and Mookie Betts and that. She got the perfect job shopping with other people's money, as she did mine for so many years. But I'm really proud of her, too. Yeah.
Well, that is awesome. Well, I mean, so in other words, when she says, hey, Dad, wear this, you have nothing else to say. You got to wear that.
Hey, man, yeah. I'm telling you, she shouts for me, and she shouts a lot. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Yeah. We've wrapped up this show, and I love you both. We got to do this again, but I love that slogan Gary Matthews just gave us, Bill. If we know any single guys and they start thinking about married, go buy another car. On that note, Bill, how can anybody reach you, my good friend, as we got another great legend coming through this show?
Yeah, what a joy. Bill Norte, BILLNORTE 15 at gmail.com. And thanks a lot, Gary, for coming on with us. And Mark,
man,
you did a hell of a job. I thank you, too.
I tell you, you know I love you till the A's play the Pirates this year, and then, you know, we're bitter enemies. But after that three-game series in Pittsburgh, you know I love you.
Pirates started losing yet?
No, a little bit, but, you know, we'll make the playoffs. I got my own problems with Dodger Nation out here. It's like a war with those guys, but that'll be a story for another day. Gary Matthews, we love you. Long live San Fernando. We got to get you back on. Billy, next week, all the great listeners, catch this archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Till next week, have a blessed and safe week, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.